Hey, what's good? What's good? What's good? Welcome to Reflections of a DJ, the Role podcast presented by DJ City and BeatSource. I'm one of your hosts, DJ Crooked. We have Jamie the Great here.
Yeah.
Big shout out to Never Forever. And, you know, we have a very special guest. I've been meaning to have him on the podcast. I see him doing big things, doing a lot of different parties, throwing a lot of great sets, you know, and I'm happy to have him here. We have LA's finest, DJ JQ. What's good, man?
What's up, fam? Thank you, guys for having me. I'm good.
Yeah, man.
You know, enjoying the LA weather. It's cooled down.
It's
actually,
it
picked up over the weekend, but it was like a lot cooler last week.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's I've been seeing your sets on like R&B and Ribs. I know you come to Vegas, you do Altura, you're mad cool with Exile and AR. You also do the LA party here, Travesuras.
Yeah, Travesuras.
Oh, nice, right?
You got it.
Yeah,
uy,
there
que
you go.
Bueno.
Hey.
Relax.
Bueno.
Hey, Crooked got a crazy Spanish accent. I love it.
And you also do Adobo, right?
Yeah, I do. Adobo
and
well.
You're from El Salvador, right?
So my family's from El Salvador. I was born here in LA, yeah.
He's El Salvadorian,
yeah,
bro.
But I'm Salvadorian,
right?
Yeah,
yeah. yeah.
Salvadorian, no L in the beginning.
Oh, Salvadorian.
Yeah,
wait, you don't say L, but you're from, but wait, how does that work?
So you just say Salvadorian, you don't Salvadorian. Say El Salvadorian.
Oh, you don't?
Nah. No.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't get that memo.
Nah, it's all
wait,
good,
is bro. That, is that, wait, why not though?
It's weird.
El Salvadorian?
Yeah, like
Salvadorian.
But like, all right, so like I'll talk to Nopa because he's Salvadorian
yeah,
too,
he's
right?
Yeah, Salvadorian.
You he'll see say, how he said it?
I mean, I tried correct.
I thought you were just saying that.
No, but like he'll say, oh, like dude's El Salvi.
Oh, yeah, we say he's Salvi, yeah.
Oh, Salvi, not
yeah,
El Salvi. We,
nah, he's not El Salvi. Yeah, he's just Salvi.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Some people on Twitter were like bashing that one not too long ago.
Why? What are they bashing about it?
Yeah, what? I don't even know why they were.
Bro, you're like, the mayor of all of Salvadorian.
Oh, it's like it's a racial slur kind of thing?
Nah, I mean, I guess some people took it that way, but I mean, we say it a lot here in LA. Like, as a Salvadorian, we say it like we just like, oh, yeah.
I guess it depends how you say it, right?
Yeah, like he's Salvi yeah, or.
Like you
yeah.
fucking Salvi.
Fucking Salvi.
Okay, whoa.
Hey!
Chinito call me Salvi.
Bro, you call him Cerote, that's the problem.
Full, no, I didn't know that. Okay.
That one's.
Wait, what is it?
Cerote.
Yeah, you say that one to
I'm
Salvi.
Not saying that.
Cerote means like shithead.
Yeah, no shit. It literally means shit.
Well,
yeah.
I think it's funny, like, cabrón, like for Boricuas, cabrón is like a bad. It's like really bad.
Yeah, for
but
us.
But then with Mexicans, it's like saying, yo, what up, bro?
Yo,
like,
what up, bro? Yeah.
Like, he's cool. Like, ah, oh, fucking cabrón. That's
nah,
it's like real different.
So when a Mexican says cerote to a Salvadorian, it's like very vulgar.
Yeah, that's beef.
That's
right
beef
there.
On site.
That's like dropping the N-word with the R at the end.
Right, yeah. Low key.
Yeah.
But when a Salvi says cerote to another Salvi, it's just like, oh, what up, bro?
It's like blood, right?
Yeah.
What up, blood? Like, yeah, we brothers.
What?
Or something.
Oh,
I don't know.
Jesus.
Hey, Crooked gets to LA and it's
no,
like,
no, I'm just
gang.
Asking. Well, you're from South Central, right?
Yeah, yeah. I was raised in South Central.
Raised in South Central.
No, in the midst of it. Like,
and
deep
then I'm,
in it.
Yeah.
Yeah, all right. So, like, I'm obsessed with LA. Like, I'm the hood.
Yeah.
Because it's so different. I'm from New York, so.
Right.
He loves gang culture.
So when I hear someone's like from Inglewood or like from South Central or, you know, Watts, I instantly want to ask how it was growing up in South Central.
Because
it's so interesting to me.
I was only in South Central up until middle school because I was supposed to go to a very dangerous high school.
You were supposed to go to Crenshaw.
Yeah, I was supposed to go to Crenshaw while I was living out there. But then my family, we moved to the desert, like Victorville. I don't know if you know where that's at.
Nah.
That's like on the way to Vegas.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's like 2 hours from here. But yeah, growing up, it was like dangerous. Like my parents wouldn't let me go out nowhere. And like if we went to the park, as soon as the park lights went off, like you got to go home.
Damn.
And it's like down
crazy.
The street. Yeah.
Show some, wait. So like what territory were you in?
I was in the Crip area.
The Crip area?
Yeah, I was like down the street from.
But is it like Mexicans or blacks or like how is it?
It's blacks, bro.
So you were like the only like Hispanic Latin motherfucker there.
Yeah, when I was going to middle school, it was like me and like 10 Latin motherfuckers.
Oh, so predominantly black neighborhood.
Yeah, it was like very.
So you remember like growing up in middle school, like you had to move different?
Yeah.
Shit,
you like have how? To. You kind of have to stick together with all the Latinos.
Oh shit! It's like it's like jail.
Yeah, it's like jail, huh? Bro. Yeah. South Central's different, bro.
It's he's in middle school and these motherfuckers are already like thinking like we in jail. Like we got to move like we in jail. That's
were you,
crazy.
Were you in crews? Were you tagging? Were you doing any of that?
Nah, bro. I was like
You was a good kid. Myself.
Yeah, I was a good kid. I was playing soccer, so like I'd go home and
yeah, they got some good soccer matches down in South Central, yeah, bro. At those parks.
Yeah, man, it was amazing. That's crazy. I missed it.
No, so you couldn't. Your mom didn't let you wear like the long white tees, and no, you weren't dressing like that.
Man, no, nah,
because that was basically
And they're from like El Salvador, so they don't really like knowing about all of that, you know.
Right.
And like anything can be related to cholo culture.
Yeah, even like having short hair, my mom didn't let me go like super short in a haircut.
Yeah,
like I had long hair, I had to get it cut with scissors. I couldn't get it.
Like I never
wait, had wait what is the short haircut thing? What
the cholos, so if you're bald or you're short hair, that's an indication like you gang.
Yeah. Also, if you walk around, you got that haircut,
yeah,
it's like you like could be on cut. Site, right?
Yeah, you get hit
or,
up.
Or it's kind of like what set you from you trying to look like a gang, you trying to look like a homeboy, right?
Yeah, kinda you kind of like, but I mean, it doesn't hurt either because you kind of like blend in, like you belong out there, like,
right,
you know?
Yeah, but now it's dangerous as fuck. You get hit up and you're like, yo, where you from? That's a whole other conversation.
I don't bang, bro.
Yeah. Like, what neighborhood you said or were you claiming?
I don't bang.
You're saying nowhere.
Nowhere. I'm don't bang. Colors are neutral.
Yeah, yeah. So you didn't get jumped in nowhere or nothing like that?
Oh, in middle school, I got like jumped like out of nowhere. Like, I just got jumped by a bunch of Latinos. I think they were Mexican, but they're just... Well, that's just random.
The Salvi and the Mexican beef is really crazy out here.
Really? In L.A.?
Yeah, in L.A. Yeah, yeah, man.
For real?
It's, yeah.
We're not supposed to get along.
Yeah,
bro.
We're not supposed to, but what? It's like, it's just like an imaginary beef.
Are there a lot of Salvis in L.A.?
Yeah, there's a lot.
Oh, so wait, would you say the Mexican Salvi thing is like Boricua and Dominicans?
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
A little bit, right?
They get offended if they call them Mexican. Yeah, the Mexicans get offended if they call them Salvi.
Right.
We hate it, but it's like... To me, it's like an imaginary beef because I have a lot of friends that are Mexican.
For sure.
Like, one of our best friends, we grew up with him, and he's Mexican. Like, he's from Mexico.
Yeah.
And, like, we get along amazing.
Yeah, New York, I remember growing up, and I'd be going to, like, parties and shit. And, you know, like, they'd drop that, like, Puerto Rico, ho. Mm-hmm. And all the Dominicans would be like, Puerto Rico, no.
Damn, that's fucked up. You know I did that to them.
And we'd be like, yo, man. And, like, I had, like, a lot of Puerto Rican friends. They'd be like, man, fuck those Dominicans and shit, like, yo, fuck them and all that. Platanos, they used to call them, I think.
Oh, shit.
Oh, my God.
I can't say that, right?
No, you can say that.
They used to call them Platanos. And they used to talk all that shit about that. Yeah. But so that's how y'all were, like, Salvis and Mexicans like this.
Yeah.
I'm not going to get in trouble for saying Salvis, right?
Nah, you good.
You're not using it.
You got a Salvi pass, yeah.
Okay.
Damn.
As long as I'm in front of a Salvi saying Salvi.
You in front of two Salvis. So
two Salvis, yeah.
You got backup, bro.
I got backup here.
Right there, you got little bro. Little big bro.
Wait, so wait. Where'd you get into DJing though? Your dad was a DJ.
My dad was a DJ.
Oh shit.
Yeah, my dad and his brother were DJs.
What were they DJing? Salvador here.
Like Salvadorian weddings and shit. Like,
yeah, they were just doing like functions. Like backyard spots. Yeah, like functions. Shit. But it was like all Latin stuff mainly. Like,
wow.
I guess my dad liked DJing, or like he used to roll with DJs in El Salvador, and then when he got here, started his own thing.
Wow. His crates must be nuts.
Oh, they were. But it was like all pop stuff. Like I grew up on like very heavy pop stuff.
Like what?
Like all like Michael Jackson. What else? Like Prince.
Yeah.
Like some pop rock stuff, you know. Like
oh, he didn't have no like deep like cumbia cuts or anything.
Oh
like
yeah,
that,
yeah. Like we had like deep like Latin crates for sure. Like the cumbia, the corridos, the merengue. Not so much bachata or salsa because we don't really listen to that on the West Coast.
Right.
But it's like cumbia heavy and like what else would you say? Like merengue. Yeah.
Merengue. And so, like, you were soaking up all that shit. You were hearing it all the time.
Yeah, all the time since I was a little, like,
wow,
5 years. That's crazy. 3-5 years old, yeah. Weird being, me and him were talking, we're like, when I got back from the army, like, I didn't really have DJ equipment to practice on. So I'd come here, I asked Edwin, and he let me come and practice.
The Beat Source office?
To the Beat Source office.
Oh, shit. Yeah. Wait, you was in the army, right?
Yeah, I was in the army.
But, like, I heard you were, like, doing gigs. And then you would have to like come back to the base.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Were you sneaking out or no?
Nah, so I actually got, like, they really fucked with me in the army because I would do like some gigs for them. So like the army, they have like their balls, their military balls, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they were like, oh, we have a DJ in our company. And they just started setting me up and I started doing like all the military balls. I started doing like promotion ceremonies.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, and then I would help out what we call a chaplain. So he's like a holy person in the military.
Mm.
And like he would get me out of work all the time. Like just, yo, come DJ for me. Yo, come so DJ for me.
You was like Steve Rogers in the
army,
right?
Bro. You was on tour, like you're Captain America.
Yeah, I guess you could say that. Yeah.
Captain Salvi.
A little bit, yeah. Captain Salvi.
Yo, so wait. So this is recently that you been in the army and shit, or like, well, how does that work?
I was in the army from 2015 to 2021.
Oh, so recent.
Yeah.
Oh, recent. So you just got out.
I just got out. Yeah. Oh, I moved back. Yeah.
Wow.
After pandemic, crazy,
God
right?
Damn, he got out and fucking hit the ground running.
Running, yeah. But I mean, I was already like picking up steam like towards the end of my contract, towards the end of my enlistment, and like that's where that comes in, where I travel and come back. So I tell them, I'm like, yo, like I have opportunities here and here. Is it okay if I go? They're like, yeah, just make sure you're back on Monday, like by Monday, like at 9 o'clock or something.
What made you join the army?
It was something I always just wanted to do, you know.
Really?
Yeah, since I was a little kid. And the opportunity arose, and I just took off.
Yo, I got a question. Like, so my boy's in the Navy.
Yeah.
And he said, kind of like, if you're in the Air Force, like, no one respects you.
Yeah, nah.
Because that's like the most, like, pussy.
It's a chill job, man.
Really? You would think like you're
so chill.
Top Gun.
No, it's like, so.
They're like office workers, bro.
Yeah.
Oh, are they really?
Yeah, you know, the
so
majority.
It's like
Air Force.
So if you, like, meet a Marine, Or like, you know what I'm saying? If you meet a Marine.
Yeah, the Marines talk the most shit.
And then, but if you say like, hey, I'm in the Air Force, you ain't shit. Like, you don't do nothing.
Yeah.
Right?
Damn.
Yeah.
So what?
And then the Navy's kind of second. But like, at least in the Navy, you guys are like hands-on motherfuckers. They doing shit, right? Yeah.
And the Navy's actually a very good career field for medical.
Yeah.
They have like a crazy medical field. Like, if you want to do medical and, like, have, like, a pretty good advantage, join the Navy.
So the respect totem pole is the bottom is the Air Force.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's the Navy, Army Marines.
Well, the bottom would be, like, what are they called? Coast Guard?
Damn, why the shit on the Coast Guard, bro? Yeah.
The Coast Guard really ain't shit.
Coast Guard ain't shit. Coast Guard is, like, right here, like.
What about MP? I heard MPs are also there.
MPs are assholes.
I heard, but they're kind of at the bottom because they couldn't even be like a police officer.
No, right? MPs are like, damn. So every branch.
Yeah, yo, by the way, we support the military.
All we like, you know, military.
Thank you for your service.
You're funny.
All the military. I'm just asking questions.
What's
I'm curious.
In that coffee, man?
And I didn't say none of this shit. You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying none of this.
So all my military personnel, we still got his tax money, so it's cool. Don't even worry about it.
You pay a lot of taxes too, man. What the fuck?
Nah, but so, I heard military police ain't shit because they couldn't cut it as a cop, so they became a military police. That's what I heard.
I don't know about all that, but every branch has like their own military police.
Oh, okay.
So every branch has an MP, like, you know, division or whatever there.
All right, so like in the Army, what were you doing? Like, what were you?
Me, I was a mechanic.
A mechanic.
Yeah, I was a mechanic, and I was attached to Special Forces. So like, motherfuckers that you'd see like on commercials doing like cool shit.
Yeah.
Or like whenever you see them like on these little boats and they're like pulling up to shit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'd help them out. Like, I'd take care of like the boats and the engine and all that stuff. Make sure they got all their gear together. All
right. So if some shit starts popping off and there's a war, you got to go, right?
Nope.
No.
Nah,
but in the past 5 years, you would have to go from 2015 to 21, right?
To 22.
To 22.
Yeah.
You would have been on call.
I would have been on call, yeah.
Yeah. Were you ever worried and shit about that? No?
Nah,
you was ready?
I would have gone, yeah.
Yeah?
Gone back. I miss it sometimes.
You do? What do you miss, the camaraderie?
Wait, what the fuck?
Yeah, I miss the camaraderie, but it like, there's like, you know, structure. I feel like out here, like, there's not as much structure. But I guess it's the job that I was doing in the Army as well. Like, it's pretty easy and laid back. Like, I wasn't doing shit.
Okay. That's where our tax part.
Yeah, that's where all your tax money goes.
Good to know, JQ. Good to know.
You're welcome. Hey, thanks for flying me out, by the way.
But I want to talk about Adobo in D.C.
Yep.
It's very special.
Amazing.
Yeah, yeah. But it's also like, it's hard to do because you do Exile, Saltura, and then you do Travesuras, right?
Right.
But then on the West Coast, it's completely different to, especially DC, I feel like it's a completely different world. And a lot of Salvis are over there, right?
Yeah, a lot of Salvis, a lot of Central Americans.
Central
Americans, South Americans, a lot of Caribbean out there too.
Yeah, so like, you know exactly what to play?
Yeah, yeah.
How do you know this? Like, are you talking to East Coast motherfuckers a lot?
I'm Central American, so I know what we like, and then it just kind of like translates easy over there. And like, some of the stuff I can't play over here on the West Coast, I can play it easy.
Like what?
There.
Like what? Explain.
Like dancehall,
or
like,
oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Dembo.
Like dembo. Yeah. Oh,
like
dembo,
way more dembo.
Way
right?
more dembo.
Like deep, deep, deep,
yeah,
deep cuts.
Bachata, salsa. I could play that over there. Over here, I have to keep it more cumbia, Mexican regional. The reggaeton is a little more...
It's more commercialized.
Commercial over here, yeah.
It's more commercial. Yeah, more top 40 on the West Coast.
Top 40, yeah.
We were talking about like where hip hop and reggaeton is right now.
Oh man,
it's bad.
It's tough.
It's that. It's bad.
I think so. Yeah.
So what everyone is saying about hip hop, it's actually happening with reggaeton.
More reggaeton right now, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
What can you explain? Like explain a little.
I feel like just with Bad Bunny's last two amazing projects, you know the
yeah.
Yeah, Un Verano Sin Ti and Yo Hago Lo Que Me Da La Gana.
I mean, it's basically like Off the Wall and Thriller, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Basically, yeah. Right? Like, he just went crazy.
Right.
You know? Two albums back to back. And then, you know, he had the other two albums there, but those two just, like, killed crazy. The game. Like, how do you top that? Like, Rauw Alejandro, he put out two good albums. Karol G, her album was good, too. Like, I enjoyed it. I think, like, her album is, like, very... good, like, and I think it's more dedicated to the West Coast than it is to the East.
Why do you say that though?
It's like a lot more Mexican influence to that, and we have like a very Mexican heavy demographic over here on the West Coast.
So Karol G, her newest album, and a lot of the singles, they're catered to like a Mexican audience.
Oh,
the West
Coast. I feel like it. Yeah,
she has Peso Pluma in there.
Yeah, she's got Peso Pluma, and she's got a few like she's had like a few Mexican regional tracks that she tried. Yeah,
but you're saying like what's wrong with this? Like it's not as global as like the Bad Bunny shit.
Right. It doesn't translate as well for the East Coast at least. Yeah. I mean, like there's still amazing tracks that you can play, you know, like Okie Dokie.
Yeah. She's got like five, like honestly, club. She has five club hits right now.
Yeah. Oh, Provenza. Provenza's the one. That one's amazing. Like that one does very
That's old though. That's an old one.
Yeah,
that's
but it's been still,
around.
It's,
yeah, yeah.
It, I feel like
that it got,
like,
probably got bigger, thing. Right?
Yeah,
it probably got bigger now.
Yeah,
yeah, because that's like in some rooms that's like a low key, sexy, like up tempo song, and then in other rooms it's like kind of like sexual seduction. It could be like a banger, right?
Yeah.
Am I wrong on this?
No. I love that the correlation you did there.
No, but it's right, right?
Yeah, you're
I'm
right.
On point. Okay,
yeah, I see what you're saying.
I know. I'm on top of this. The only thing that I would say is all the Karol G shit. For as many hits as she has, right? None of it is crossover.
None of
like,
it.
Like, I can't play it in an open format room.
No. Nope.
Like, I could play, you know, like all the Bad Bunny shit.
Yeah. I mean, you may be able to play Provenza, because that if...
I mean, yeah, but...
Yeah, it's like...
No, but not even. That's like an early record to
me. Right.
Yeah. But you got to remember, though, brother, Bad Bunny's like one of a kind. Like, you can't... There's nobody going to replicate him in a male or a female version of him in a reggaeton or Latin music. Like, it's not like when J Balvin did Mi Gente and that shit was fucking everywhere.
Yeah.
You're not going to see that again.
So you're saying reggaeton right now is a little stale.
Yeah, it's very stale.
Like hip hop a little bit. Yeah. Like, but explain, like, what, there's no hits? Is it getting redundant? Is it getting like.
Yeah, it's because everybody wanted the same thing, especially here on the West Coast. I mean, like, everybody wants to hear the same thing all over again. Like, it's the same hits. And, like, you can't really get into the B-sides because. On the West Coast, once you play like something they really don't know or are familiar with, it's like they look at you crazy, like, what the fuck is this?
I noticed the problem sometimes, like, I don't know, in the past 2 years maybe.
Yeah.
In the past 2 years, I started seeing that a lot of the reggaeton that was coming out in the past year and a half to 2 years was too slow. It was like 80 BPM.
Yeah.
When everything before was like 90, 100.
Yeah.
And that's when everything was like kind of popping.
That's a sweet spot.
But then everything kind of just slowed down like 2 years ago, right?
Yeah.
Am I wrong? Like,
no, you're right.
And then it became, and then everyone had to make like an edit for the all of this shit.
Yeah.
And they had to make it faster.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
It doesn't make no sense. It was like everyone was hitting this like 80 BPM pocket,
right?
That was like, that reminded me of like maybe the late 2000s when like Atrévete was popping and all that shit. It was like this very like heavy, like fucking
slow,
right?
Double time.
I mean, Rauw and Karol G, like their new recent albums, they came out with like 90 and up BPM tracks, you know. And that I love like some of Rauw's work on that album, but it's just you don't get that feeling, the same feeling that Bad Bunny gives you.
But the problem is with Rauw, there's no crossover hits.
Yeah,
it doesn't translate. Like all the reggaeton shit in the past year and a half, maybe even 2 years, none of it crossed over. Like none of it.
Yeah. Probably just one with, what is it, Loquera? Loquera was popping on TikTok too.
Yeah. Do you think that Bad Bunny kind of fucked that up though?
Yeah.
Because everyone just wanted to hear that. So it overshined all these other artists that were putting out dope shit.
But I don't even think he fucked it up. I think it's like nobody's trying to get to that same level as him, you know? Mm. Like, he put that shit on a fucking pedestal. And, like, we just want to see, like, everybody else, like, get up there with him.
Yeah.
And, to me, the person closest that could get to that is Fade. But, he kind of, tanked with this project that he did. Because, if you listen to Fade's music, it has, you could feel the emotion. And, people really fuck with Fade heavy.
Yeah.
You know?
But same thing with Fade, though. There's a bunch of fucking hits. But none of it crosses over.
Like,
is the Peso Plumas is working on the West Coast? Is it working on the East Coast too?
Yeah.
It is.
I played Peso Pluma for Walter's birthday. It went crazy.
That's crazy.
Yeah. What song?
Oh.
Ella Baila Sola. Oh, okay. Yeah. Sorry, I know the deep cuts to Peso Pluma. So I was like, what's getting out there?
There was another one that we played.
PRC?
I think I played Lady Gaga.
Lady Gaga.
Oh, Lady Gaga.
Yeah, Lady Gaga.
It's crazy. Like, you gave me a crate of all this banda, right? And all the Peso Pluma.
Right.
And I did, a kind of a Latin party in Riverside.
Mm.
In Cali and shit.
Oh.
And the reggaeton was cool, but then they just wanted to hear banda. They just wanted to hear all that Peso Pluma and all that shit.
Bro, I gave you all the first time Reggie that shit.
But, yo, I I've been DJing a long time, okay?
Okay.
I don't know why it's so difficult for me to blend in these fucking banda records.
You
it's like impossible.
Oh no, yeah, you gotta drop it on one.
It's impossible, right?
No, yeah, bro, I don't blend them.
Yeah,
I know I don't either, but I feel stupid when I just drop them shits.
Nah. But you gotta hit them at the right
time.
You
reverb it, you reverb it, and then you drop it, right?
See, this is how I know you're a West Coast DJ. You gotta drop it from the one.
I do drop it
from the New Yorkers,
one.
Bro.
No, I'm not trying to blend it in. But you know, I try to just have it be like, okay, maybe I could, and then there's no way to blend
It's tough, man. You just gotta drop it from the one.
You just gotta have a good mic game, though, right?
Not even that.
Like, you just drop it, throw it. One. Yeah, just toss it.
But it sounds better when you reverb it out, you talk some shit, and then you drop the next one.
Nah,
if you want to, but you don't have to.
You know what I do? I use the little snares of the hats, because they all have them kind of similar, so I'll just drop it from right there.
The guitar riffs, you always use those.
Yeah.
I mean, it's all confusing to me, man. I don't understand where the fuck it's going, what's going on. I don't even know where to cut it. I'd be like, all right, this melody sounds like the hook.
Yeah.
You know?
Sometimes it's tough because the structure is very different.
But it's mad different.
Yeah, but you can play a hook in a verse. But again, if you don't understand it and you don't know what that
is. I mean, like I said, I've been DJing a long time. It doesn't sound horrible. You know, it works, but I just wish I understood.
Oh, no, you definitely accomplished.
I just wanted to be like, I'm not the only motherfucker that.
No.
I've heard some people train wreck.
Remember, if you looked at some of the songs that I sent you, it says start at this time, start at this time.
I don't read that shit, man.
Fuck you then.
I fucking listen. I listen to this shit and I drop
it. I'm telling you the hot spots.
but you in Exile, I love, Exile in Las Vegas at Al Huda. I love his mic game.
Yeah,
I heard your mic game is nasty too.
Or it's decent. I talk shit.
Yeah?
Yeah, I'm talking
shit. What do you say?
All right, so this weekend, me and my friend, he actually has a really good mic game, and I was like, pause.
Hey, yo.
Yeah.
You guys are just mic
gaming. How did you know?
Yeah.
Mic game
how do you
good.
Know?
How do you know?
His mic game was nasty.
Woo! Pause. There you go.
But I can't remember. He was trying to hype up the girls, but I was like, hey, ladies, if after the club you going to get a plan B, make some fucking noise.
You say it in English?
I say it in English.
Oh shit.
Yeah.
Crooked isn't like that.
Yeah. And
I don't like motherfuckers speaking in English at a Latin party.
Word.
He doesn't like that.
I mean, sometimes I'll talk in Spanish.
That's why that's why he loves Exile.
No, but I also like Exile. I've never heard anyone talk the way Exile talks on the mic.
Yeah.
Where he's very he sounds very Mexican.
Yeah. I'm sorry, please.
But you know, but it's also he's unapologetically doubling down on his Mexican heritage with his voice.
Yeah.
But then there's this soccer commentator energy, right?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's a little Telemundo soccer. I don't know. I'm being racist right now. I'm being a stereotypical asshole.
Exile, we're going to get you a Telemundo application.
Yeah, yeah, Telemundo.
No, but you know what I mean, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Like
I get
the soccer
saying.
Commentator.
Well, it rises up. It just keeps rising.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Yeah.
But no one's on the mic like that.
No, never.
The only two people that I enjoy listening to is Exile and my homie Refresh from San Diego.
Refresh from San Diego.
Yeah, he's nasty on the mic too.
Yeah, yeah. Shout out to Dynamic Refresh too.
Dynamic's that Dynamic, he's my favorite. Game one. Is good. He's my favorite.
But he could switch accents.
Yeah, bro. He's like Dominican in one song and then Mexican the next, and he's just moving around.
He could switch that shit. Yeah
I've never.
His phrases are the best. He has great catchphrases.
Yeah. I've never met him.
Oh, bro, you got to go to San Diego and go to his Thursday night.
Yeah,
bananas.
Mm.
But he has, his mic game pauses. Like, his mic game is nasty.
Very dynamic,
your mic game. When he was on the podcast, he was breaking down all the accents, like Puerto Rican, Colombian,
That's dope.
Dominican.
Nah,
all
he's
that
the best.
Shit.
He's the best.
Yeah.
Wait, so who do you think is the top motherfuckers on the mic pause? And, like,
I'm going to give it Dynamic.
I mean, I love Exile. I just think he's just mad original, man. Like,
he's definitely top.
You know, I've never heard anyone like that before, man.
Nah, definitely. And he gets, like, a crazy interaction from the crowd.
We got to make sure, we got to check out JQ's fucking, mic game and see how what he's working with. Pause.
I mean, there's some gigs where I get more on the mic than other gigs because sometimes I'm like so focused on like just DJing that I don't pick up the mic. And like, actually, you guys helped me pick up a mic game because I was like, damn, everybody, they keep talking about mic game. And I used to not have a mic game at all.
Well, in the West Coast, we don't really go after the mic game. I had to learn it when I would go to Vegas and I would listen to, well, even here, but more so when I would go to Vegas and DJ Reach. I don't know if you ever heard of him.
Nah.
Dude, Reach is a monster in the mic. And then you would hear him, and then you would hear Neva, and then you'll be like, oh shit, this is the one tweak I'm missing.
Right.
That this is the thing you kind of have to put. Just because we grew up on radio DJs, and it's all good blending, which is cool, but the mic game is just, it's like your shit goes on steroids.
Right.
So you have to pick that shit up.
I'm kind of curious to see like how you would approach an East Coast gig like that versus the West Coast. Because I know you probably play more Dembo. Right.
Yeah, I'll play more Dembo. It'll be,
and it's a lot of Salvis and
a lot of
there.
Salvadorians, a lot of Central Americans in general. So I just like pick at them a little more than I would any other.
So like, what's like an anthem you would play for like all the
cumbia.
Central
Cumbia Sampaesana.
Yeah, Cumbia Sampaesana.
You know that?
Yeah.
It's Cumbia Sampaesana. I go straight to that. Like anything by Aniceto Molina, which is a huge like Colombian artist, but we love him in El Salvador.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
like he has like songs about El Salvador. Like he loved us.
So shout out to my boy Raul in Miami, right?
Oh, love him.
Like he'll go like vinyl digging. Like I remember I went to Mexico City with him and I was just rolling with him and he'd be going to all the record stores in Mexico City. Like we'd be going to the hood, like these record stores that no one goes to.
Right.
And he'd be looking for cumbia records. Ooh. But it's like, it's crazy because when I think of cumbia, I think of Mexico, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, but it's like cumbia is actually from Colombia.
Colombia.
So he's like looking up these Colombian cumbia records that are like worth tons of fucking.
Oh, yeah. You got to think about it. They never really got pressed like that.
Right. Yeah, but he was like, he was breaking it down to me and they were playing some of the shit at a lot of like the restaurants, like the high-end restaurants and the lounges and shit. Yeah. And it just sounds like the cumbia sounds crazy.
Amazing.
Like,
yeah. I have some friends like that out here. They're called Cumbia Fever. They throw a cumbia night every Thursday. Yeah. Like they've been consistent for a few years.
Where at?
In downtown LA at La Cita.
Oh, La Cita.
Yeah.
I love La Cita.
Amazing.
But what's the difference with between Colombian like cumbia and like Mexican cumbia?
I don't know if this is.
Do you guys know? Or you
yeah,
guys
yeah.
Know?
So Mexican cumbia is like slower. Like it's slower and it like feels heavier. Like it's just heavy. Like everything sounds heavy, right?
It almost sounds like the beat is going backwards. That it's like
vroom, exactly. Vroom.
Wow, right? You caught on that, Kurt.
Right?
That's kind of crazy.
Yeah, right? I'm right. It's like vroom, but it's like it's heavy, like a heavy fucking
the
bass.
The bass. Yeah.
It's like very trappy, almost.
You can say that.
It's like, you know, when I'm listening, I'm in the lounge and I'm like, damn, this shit is hitting. Like, it sounds dope.
We're Pop Smoke.
So that's like more Mexican.
That's more Mexican. Colombia, cumbia from Colombia is like more percussion and it's like faster. You know,
more dancey,
way more dancey.
Oh shit!
Yeah, but it's crazy because sometimes Mexicans will ask me, "Can you play cumbia movida?" Was like just some cumbia they could dance to, right?
Right.
And I play some like up tempo shit like that, and they're like, "Nah, like this," and it's some like way slower.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's way slower.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny. Like I'm thinking like in a lot of the open format parties we're doing, especially a lot of the DJ curated parties we're doing.
Yeah.
Like a lot of the new music isn't like in high demand.
No.
Even the Latin music to hip hop to top 40 music, like everyone wants to hear throwbacks.
Yeah.
So with like a lot in the Latin parties that you've been DJing, that's what they want, right? They want more throwbacks. They want more variety. They want you to kind of dig a little bit deeper, right?
Right. It's either like heavy Bad Bunny or like
Still Bad Bunny? Bro,
you cannot get away from
You can't get away from Bad Bunny. But me, I'm like, I just treat it the same way, like how open format DJs in hip hop or like any other genre treat it. I do that with the Latin side. Mm. So I just like, I'll play like throwback pop Latin music or throwback rock en español or throwback anything else that's not like really reggaeton, but it's like iconic. Like we remember growing up listening to it.
Like, yeah, you're like, everyone heard fucking Maná at some point in their life, like the mom cleaning on a Saturday morning.
Yeah.
It's a must. So it's like, you throw these things and it's nostalgic and now it's good to reminisce on shit. But when you're growing up, you're like, I don't want to hear this shit. But now everyone fucking loves it.
Yeah, that's that anthem right there. And like, I played it at a rumbazo at the Altura Festival.
The Oye Mi Amor song?
Yeah.
That shit will go like no matter what. Nuts. Celia Cruz, all that shit.
Yep.
So a lot of throwbacks is just hitting right now.
Yeah,
even like throwbacks. The throwback 2000 reggaeton is like
hitting.
Deeper cuts is like starting to hit, right?
So maybe not so much the deeper cuts, but yeah, the throwback stuff.
Mm.
Yeah, on the West Coast, I wish I could play more deeper throwbacks reggaeton, but I can't.
Like what artists you don't play?
I don't think it's like artists really. It's more of like song selections. So like, I wish I could play some of Daddy Yankee's like older stuff, or like some
like what. Like, what would go off on the East Coast, but not here on the West Coast?
Son Las Doce. Like, I could play Son Las Doce on the East Coast, but I can't play it out here. Mm. Or I could play, like, I feel like Tu Príncipe. Like, it works on both coasts, but it goes off crazier on the East Coast than it does over here.
It's so funny. I was talking to this, this young ass, like, you know, we was in the club, and we were talking about, like, music.
Yeah.
And, like, this girl was, like, I was, like, telling her about Tego. Like, this maybe 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then, like, we was, like, all DJs, and we, like, played Tego. And then she was just like, this sound like some old-ass shit. He sound old as fuck. Like, this shit ain't dope. And then, like, 2 years later, Tego starts popping on the West Coast. And everyone's playing Wasa Wasa and all this shit.
Yeah.
And now it's, like all of a sudden, the West Coast is, like... How does that happen? Like,
well, I'm gonna.
Y'all are late to not like Tego.
No,
that's crazy.
No. Tego was big in the early 2000s.
It was.
Yeah, but it wasn't. But like the young kids don't know.
Okay. Well, that's different. The young kids don't know.
Yeah, they don't know him.
Yeah.
It sucks because even with like Tego, like I wish I could play like some of his older tracks and I can't. Like I wish I could play Métele Sazón, but it doesn't hit the same as.
What's that other joint? What's that joint I love? Punto y Aparte.
Punto y Aparte is amazing.
Amazing.
Love that record.
Like, yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, but I don't even know if they know that shit, right?
Nah.
Remember I dropped Tego one time, Cricket, and you're like, get out of this shit. No one's that. But he was like, nobody knows that shit. I'm surprised they even know Ivy Queen. Like, the newer kids.
Yeah.
And I think that's just because Bad Bunny kind of gave a cosign.
Yeah, the one.
Yeah, but, like, they don't know that shit.
Yeah.
Like, they just know, like, the newer shit. And
I mean, they just know her one track, Yo Quiero Bailar.
Yeah.
Like, that's literally it. But she has, like, other shit. Like, when she did Yo Quiero Saber.
Yeah,
and that was like an amazing. She just took the dancehall rhythm and just started spitting over it.
Yeah, I don't even know. I only know.
You know, Ivy Queen's a shit.
Yeah, man, she's dope, man.
You know, there was a track that you dropped that I fucking loved, and I went and I researched it and I downloaded it. It was Te Quiero.
Oh, bro, that was like my anthem.
It's like
for
a
the
slow
longest.
Jam, right?
Which one is it? Oh,
Te Quiero.
I saw a video of him playing, and I was like, "Yo!" That's dope. And I was like, "The melody was dope."
Crazy, that was my anthem for like the longest. And then I heard like a bunch of DJs start playing, and I was like,
"They're buying this shit, right?" That's like basically like the Keisha Cole love. Right?
That's a good,
That's a good.
I got a few more for you if you want them
for real.
Yeah, I got a bunch.
I would love that shit,
bro. That's a good one.
I have like amazing, like when I did the Lunai concert with Exile and them, bro, I got into my bag on that one. Like that's probably one of my best mixes.
Really?
Yeah.
Which is crazy.
And I just went deep in the crates, but I also like played new stuff and like I was just like all over the place.
I heard like you're one of the few DJs on the West Coast like that is like your crates and your knowledge of the music is so vast. Like you're like Exile would say like he would like, you know, he would DJ before you.
Yeah.
He would drop all the bangers, and then he'd be like, "Yo, like, let me see what you could do." Like, you would get on after him,
right?
And you'd be playing some shit out the pocket,
and
you still fucking kill it. That's what he said.
Yeah. So there's been a few tracks with that. I guess I've played or delivered different, and he's like, "Fuck, man, I've played that and it didn't work." And then like we did, he's got me for like his old school night, and like he opened for me, and then he was going in, like he was just playing like throwback reggaeton, and I was like, "Yo, like." I'm loving this right now.
Right, right, right.
And then, like, I just went in and I just, like, just, oh, let's go here, let's go there, let's go there. And it was just way different from what he was doing.
But not a lot of, like, Latin West Coast DJs could do that, where they could do the East Coast and, like, they are on top of the East Coast shit.
Well, yeah, I'm going to tell you this right now. Salvies have an upper hand in a lot of, even Mexican DJs, because they connect more with the Puerto Rican music than the Mexicans do.
Wait, how's that?
Yeah.
They have more of a relationship with it. So Salvies will know the deeper cuts, and that kind of helps them to be in the East Coast more than the Mexican. Especially because the Central American, like, they're pretty heavy on the East Coast. And there's not a lot of Mexicans in the East Coast. Maybe now, but early 2000s, when you would hear somebody that's Mexican in the East Coast, it was like a fucking unicorn. But the Central Americans, which is Nicaragua, El Salvador, Honduras, they're living over there. So that's why he kind of has a cheat code in a sense, because he knows everything that those people, they will like it over there.
Mm. Yeah, and we don't have like our own genre, or we don't have like our own artists, you know? Like, you got to think about it. Mexico has like a vast majority of their own Mexican genre.
Right, right.
Like, they don't only have cumbia. They have cumbia, corridos. They have banda norteña. They have duranguense. You know, they have like just subgenre after subgenre.
Yeah, yeah.
And we just have cumbia, and like, we're not even on the Caribbean side of Central America,
mm-hmm.
but like we border with these countries that are like near the Caribbean.
Yeah, yeah.
So we just like listen to them. So like the song we were talking about earlier, the 1-2-3 song, that's a punta song, which is like a subgenre of soca.
Mm.
So like that, like all the way down, like you get punta. Like, wow. That's that.
Yeah, but that's the only genre I kind of go with when I think of like a Salvadorian party. Punta is definitely, they love that shit.
Yeah.
It's very fast. It's like 140 it's like, BPM,
yeah,
I want to say.
It's like 150. Wow. It's up there.
It's like drum and bass for y'all.
Yeah, man. It's amazing. I love it. And that's like an enduring genre.
Bro, when you drop that shit, it starts like 1, 2, 3. The fucking Salvadorian women run.
That's like Soca Jersey Club for y'all.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Literally.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny. I went to Mexico City and I was like going around in the clubs and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it's crazy, like, they fucking hate reggaeton. Like, a lot of people talk shit about reggaeton.
Damn.
Like, they fucking hate that.
Well,
like, we don't want to play that fucking reggaeton and all this. So like, when I'm going
Mexico City, oh, they're heavy in cumbia.
Yeah,
they
fucking
cumbia.
Hate that.
Yeah,
they fucking hate it. It's so crazy though, in Mexico City, like, all the nightclubs are run by cartels.
Oh fuck.
Yep.
Yeah. They took it over.
Don't doubt it.
So like, mm-hmm. apparently, I don't know, sometime in 2019 or 18, there was a club owner that was fucking with the cartel. Like, I think one of the cartel dudes felt disrespected in Mexico City by one of the club owners.
You don't do that.
Damn.
And then, well, I don't do what?
No, you don't disrespect
the cartel
guy. I don't know, like, maybe it was a misunderstanding or some shit. Like, he couldn't get in or he couldn't get to his table. I don't know what the fuck happened.
Yeah.
Teach him a lesson.
Yeah, but then, you know, I mean, the club owner disappeared. And
the club was up for sale.
But here was the thing, like, the police didn't do nothing, the government didn't do nothing. So then the cartel said, oh shit, like, we could like take over the club scene. Because obviously the government and the police don't give a fuck about club owners.
I mean,
so they literally took over the club scene. So the cartel took over all of like nightlife in Mexico City.
That's fucking
crazy. Well, the crazy thing, a lot of the tourist spots, including the clubs, a lot of the resorts, they're all owned by cartels.
Yeah, so like when I went to the clubs and I go to the bathroom, there's a dude and a shorty in front of the bathroom. And they're like, yo, you want cocaine? It's out in the open. And you could tell that the cartel is running that shit.
Yeah, bro.
And they're like, yo, cocaine.
I feel like that's everywhere now.
No.
Not like that. It's literally out in the open.
It's like saying cigarettes.
Yeah, it's like that. It's like, yo, it's literally out in the open. Like, so the shorty is selling the cocaine.
Jesus.
The shorty's like, cocaine. And I'm like, no. And if you want it, the dude, like, he okays the shit and then she'll like somehow.
Yeah.
But then you see like these little like, these kids that I know are in the cartel,
mm-hmm.
it almost reminds me of like City of God when I saw it.
Oh, fuck.
Like these young ass kids running around the club like they own the shit.
Yeah.
Like I saw these kids like kind of pushing their way through the crowd. They went behind a bar. They just grabbed the bottle.
Yeah.
And no
alcohol. Are they dressed a certain way?
Yeah.
They just, you could tell like they fucking.
Wear the same thing. They wear the polo with the numbers on this.
Oh. Yeah.
Hey, you can hear him singing, don't talk to my man.
Yeah.
Huh? My man.
Bro.
No, but it was crazy like just seeing like yo, they were just selling cocaine out in the open. I'm like, yo, this is what the cartels made.
Yeah.
Of date. That's how they doing the shit.
But again, double the profit. They're giving you the coke and the drinks. And then they sober you up with the cocaine. Then you go back to the bar.
They're putting coke back in the coke.
Do you guys ever like spin outside overseas or do anything?
I got to spin in El Salvador this year for the first time. Oh, it was for a wedding, yeah. It was dope. That was an amazing time.
Wow. Damn.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
They're from DC too, so it's crazy.
Wow. Yeah. Is that a destination wedding?
Yeah, it was a destination wedding. Yeah. And one of my friends, my friend that plugged me in, he went and he's a DJ too. So I was like, you want a DJ, bro? So he got the DJ for his homies.
Oh shit, that's dope.
Yeah. So
is that your favorite city to DJ?
Outside DC?
Yeah.
Outside of, yeah.
Have you done New York yet or not?
I have not done New York.
You think you're ready for New York?
Huh?
You think you're ready for New York?
I think if I listen to a DJ one night, I think I got it.
Really?
Yeah. So I think it's going to take me like one night.
I'm scared of New York, bro.
I got to DJ with a few of my friends from New York in DC. And man, that energy is just different.
Yeah.
Man, yo, like they had that thing jumping. I don't get nervous before I DJ. Like sometimes, like if I have somebody opening in that I know is dope, like I don't usually get nervous. But with them, I was like, all right, I'll fuck with that.
It's funny. I was in New York. I went to PhD and Marty Rock was DJing.
Oh yeah.
Shout out to Marty Rock.
He's the boy.
And it was a Spanish promoted party.
Yeah.
Of like it's a Latin party.
Mm-hmm.
But it's motherfuckers from Spain.
Oh shit.
So like the promoters are from Spain and then they're like but there's all these Latinos in there. And it's like a Spanish crowd, right? But then there's like a large Colombian crowd. And then there's like, you know, but then there's like the Bronx, Dominicans and Puerto Ricans a little spread out a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought it was like interesting that there was like Spanish promoters promoting the Spanish party.
The colonizers are back.
They're back to their old ways.
But then Marty Rock was throwing like he threw on like he was shouting out all the Spanish shorties and everyone. They were screaming. That were like a majority of the crowd was Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
But then he dropped like some Colombian bangers because there was like a lot of Colombian shit.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. Like, they sounded like Colombian folk songs or something.
Oh, he was dropping Vallenato.
Vallenato.
Vallenato, yeah.
What is that? Just like...
It's like Colombia's music. It's like their people's music. It's like cumbia, but less... Like, more tropical, I guess you would say.
Okay. Yeah, a lot more faster, like 100 BPM and shit like that.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. To me, it was just crazy because it was like... You know, I used to be kind of confident. I'm like, yo, I could play like a Latin party.
Yeah.
I could play. I know my reggaeton's cool. You know, I'm like, I know a couple dembo now. And when I go and I hear Marty Rock, he's playing like dembo I never heard. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, like deep ass cuts.
Like he's playing the 42 stuff now. La 42. They call it La 42.
Well, this is like these.
See, I don't even know that shit.
There's these cuts out like motorcycle, right? I don't know that shit.
Yeah.
Motorcycle. I don't know what that shit. You know that, right?
Yeah.
And then there was one that I was like, no, I need this one. And because this is like the perfect, it was like,
que perra, que perra, que perra, mi amiga. That's a
que perra, que perra. And I was like, it was like a chant.
Yeah, the girls love that. Yeah, anywhere.
So I'm like, yo, I don't know about the whole record, but I'm going to loop that part.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because like, even if you don't know that song,
yeah,
I was like, that goes perfect in between like 4K and, you know.
Man, literally, that's literally how we play it.
Yeah.
Like we go into, we just let that chant and like we get out before she even starts.
Yeah. I just loop that shit. And I'm just like, all right, like, I can play this other shit.
Do you know what that means, Cricket?
It's like my girls are bitches or some shit, right?
No.
What is it?
Like... I guess she's like saying like, what a bad bitch, my friend. My best friend's like a bad bitch.
Yeah.
That's kind of what I'm...
Okay.
I was in the pocket.
You're like, perra bitch.
Me and my bitches.
Yeah.
Kind of like that.
Straight up.
Yeah. I know that shit. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, but I was like, yo, I was Shazamming like all of his shit.
Yeah.
And it was like so much dembo, but I was like, I'm really not going to be in a room where I'm going to play a lot of this shit.
Yeah.
Because it's so deep.
But it's fun to have.
Dembo's fun, but it's like the closest thing I could think of to like dancehall right now.
Yes.
Because it's just like, it's really fast tempo dancehall.
And it's the same rhythm.
It's the same rhythm.
And I love that rhythm. That rhythm is in my in my veins.
And it's just really about how you organize it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Delivery.
Yeah, yeah.
Delivery, everything.
Because honestly, it does sound, it can sound redundant.
It does.
But it's like really how you fucking put it together.
Right.
Which I think is fascinating about Dembo.
Yeah, and like every artist sounds different on the same
record. Oh, yeah.
Like they make it them. They make it theirs.
I got a question. Is like the Latin Tech House, is it growing or is it like kind of like fading out?
No, it's got its own scene. Like
it's own. Yeah, so it's own got its own thing that's growing.
Yeah,
right?
It's its own thing that's growing.
Interesting.
Yeah. It's
but
probably
I think
gonna
like
take
the
a
masses
minute.
Like it though.
Yeah, not everybody. It's not for everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's funny because I've just been like noticing that, you know, a lot of rooms don't want to hear house or EDM as much
anymore.
It's
weird because some crowds here want to listen to like the poppy stuff, the EDM stuff from like 10 years ago.
Right.
Mm. But they don't want to listen to the new stuff.
No. But like but the old stuff is just honestly just like kind of top 40 music.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I put that in the category of top 40 music. So we talk about like, you know, Rihanna, Found Love.
Yep.
You know, Clarity.
Sing-alongs.
Yeah, the sing-alongs. Yeah. Clarity, Titanium. Yep. All that shit to me is in the same category as like fucking Katy Perry and like all that shit right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But like all the like, I swear like EDM or house, it just somehow it's not getting played as much in those rooms and they don't even have the attention span and the tolerance to like hear a 5 minute house set or tech house set right now.
You can't do that in LA.
But like, it just started happening like maybe like, you know, in the last, I would say this year. When I felt like it was getting phased out.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
You know what I'm saying? Because even in a Latin party, I could play like Hugel, right?
Yeah.
I could play like those joints, but it feels like the shit ain't hitting as much as it.
Oh, no.
But I mean, even some of those joints, you can't really like stick to in a straight Latin party because there's going to be like, all right, let's keep it going.
Yeah.
Let's go. This TikTok generation is crazy, you know?
Let's go. Yeah. Because I feel like everything's becoming more of a karaoke party.
You know what's funny? He just said TikTok generation, which is exactly what you just said, the karaoke aspect of it.
They just want karaoke.
They want the 15 seconds of everything.
Yeah.
It's just like sing-along. If it's not a sing-along, it's like, all right, we'll vibe to it, but we need another sing-along.
Right. And if you think about it, it's not just TikTok's fault at this point because it's Spotify because now everybody has like their own little playlist. Hey, I want to just listen to this and it's on my Spotify playlist. So why am I, this is just on my Spotify playlist. So why am I going to go out of my way to go to a club and listen to music I don't want to listen to? Mm. Oh, this is popping on TikTok. So it's like both of those things make it a little harder for us.
But the
you
weird
get what
thing,
I'm saying?
Yeah, I get what you're saying. But the weird thing is like the house scene and the EDM scene is growing. It's just like it's getting slightly phased out of open format.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
It's just more of a segregation now.
Yeah.
Whereas like maybe 2 years or 3 years ago, especially when Tiësto was dropping all that new shit.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And then some of the Guetta shit, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But it seems like this year it's like there's no integration of it.
Yeah. And do you think that's TikTok's fault? Do you think it's because they're like making like older records more popular than like EDM records? Because if you go on TikTok, you don't listen to a lot of like EDM records unless you're like looking for that in specific. But like a lot of the algorithm is like just old records just getting
and, like,
popular.
Remixes.
I mean, I've also noticed that a lot of the newer EDM doesn't have those big sing-along moments.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
The like, build-ups and the...
Yeah.
Especially a lot of the tech house shit and like, you know, especially like the Skrillex and the Fred again.
Yeah.
A lot of that shit is deep.
It's all bass lines.
It's very deep, man. Yeah. And there's not a lot of those like fucking those moments where everyone can sing along.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Which is why like, you know, like some of those John Summit records work a little bit better.
Yeah.
Because he has some of those vocals in there and shit.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
that you could play. But I don't know, man. It's just to me it's a lot more segregated too at the same time.
Yeah, but I think now that EDM like it kind of came and went in a sense. It could live in its own planet now. And it doesn't have to be in the mainstream aspect. Like, you don't have to do, like, EDM to pop. You know
what, man? But it's not really that. I think survive. Every genre is actually getting very segregated. Everyone's scene is kind of getting...
Like a theme?
Yeah.
Well, no, it's, like, very heavy Latin. There is no middle ground for Latin right now. Like, too much. Unless it's, like... But it sounds played out.
Yeah.
The middle ground for Latin just sounds exactly as played out as the middle ground for hip-hop and the middle ground for top 40.
Yeah. Yeah.
So like those rooms that are like, yo, open format, we're all in this middle ground of like, yo, we have to please everybody kind of shit.
Yeah.
But like if you really want Latin, you have to go to the right.
Yeah.
You really want EDM, you have to go to the left. If you want hip-hop, you gotta go, you know.
Yeah, I feel that.
You know what I'm saying? It's like all these scenes are getting more and more segregated and like focused.
Yeah.
You know, but there's the open format is becoming more of a karaoke room.
Right, right. And I mean, I'm in some open format rooms where I could get, like, I don't just stay in Latin. Like, they say it's Latin, but I'll, like, oh, I'll take it to, like, some disco, or I'll play, like, some Daft Punk, you know?
Right. But it's all sing-along.
It's all sing-along. It has to be, like, a sing-along, or it has to be something that, like, people know.
Right, right.
But, like, it can be, like, some dancey stuff in there. There's,
yeah, for
there's
sure.
a few stuff. I played Low over the weekend, and I was like, damn, I haven't played this in a minute.
Flow Rider?
Yeah.
No, I was like, I don't know, I can't play that.
I was like, hey, it got the crowd back, so I was you know what, whatever.
I mean,
whatever gets the job done.
I have a question. Do you sometimes feel like you get typecasted to only do Latin parties?
Yes, all the time.
Because even now, we're just talking about Latin
parties. Yeah, we're just talking about Latin.
Well, he looks like Daddy Yankee. But
that's the thing about
it. Yeah, that's one of the
looks like Daddy Yankee. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you was on Spider's podcast. He kept saying that, right?
Yeah, it's because when I shave, I look like Yankee.
Okay.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Comedy.
No, but you feel like you get typecasted.
All the time, man.
You don't like it, or you do like it? You're fine with it.
I don't care. I don't mind it, because when you throw me in that room with the open format guys, you're gonna be like, all right, he can keep up. You know, like, it's one of those things where it's just like, I know I have a nice bag. It doesn't matter where, like, you kind of throw me.
Yeah.
Like, it might not be crazier as like somebody else, but I can handle it. I can manage. Like, I did an R&B party, like one of the biggest ones in the country, and I was like, damn, you know.
Yeah.
And I did hip hop night on Saturday.
Do you feel like you got to shift your marketing a little bit to start? Like, do you want to, like, do more open format, like, non-Latin party shits?
Yeah, I think now that, like, it's kind of taking a decline, like, I'll probably...
The Latin parties are taking a decline, you think?
Yeah, I think they're kind of... I think reggaeton is just at a decline right now, so it's, you got to remarket.
So it's affecting the parties. I didn't know that.
I think so. Really? I mean, it looked crazy over the weekend, but we noticed it, like... Just because it's good one night doesn't mean it's going to be good on every night.
True.
And we've been seeing it decline ever since the beginning of the year. We'll say since the beginning of what people thought the curse was going to be, you know?
What was the curse?
Bad Bunny dating the...
Oh, Kendall Jenner?
Yeah.
Oh, wait. Really?
Yeah. I think that's when that happened, that started like a decline.
Really?
Yeah, because a lot of the girls started like, yo, Bad Bunny betrayed us.
No way. Really?
Yeah.
Oh, so like, you're talking about the Kardashian curse.
Yeah, the Kardashian curse.
How they like fuck over every artist or every athlete and they fucking taint their name and taint their
taint
their swag and everything.
Taint everything. Yeah.
Wow.
I didn't even know that was a thing.
Yeah, man. It was big. I mean, it was
that's
popping.
Crazy. That kind of makes sense though, a little bit. Right?
Yeah. It was right after Coachella.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, if you think about it from that point to like now, like reggaeton's kind of like been taking a down.
And it's Kendall Jenner's fault. And
it's Kendall Jenner's fault.
It's Kendall That's Jenner's fault.
She first did a tequila, now she took Bad Bunny.
Yo, wait. Yeah. Like a lot of people were like not happy with that, with him like dating her.
Well, when he got on stage at Coachella, he was basically saying like, you don't know my life because of pictures and all this shit. And he was kind of going at his own fans in a sense. And I think he did it in this album he just dropped. But now I understand that. I didn't know there was a fucking thing like that.
Yeah, at the beginning, he's like talking to everybody. He's basically telling people to fuck off.
So that was the decline of reggaeton.
Yeah,
I think Latin parties. Yeah?
Yep.
But it's also the Latin parties got like maybe oversaturated.
Oversaturated. Especially in LA.
Everyone had a Latin party.
Everybody in LA has a Latin party.
Everyone. I saw Vegas is like, we want a Latin. Every club is like, we want a Latin night too.
Yeah.
Everyone's like, yo, we got it.
Yeah.
Who are the DJs we could hire on this Latin night?
Bro, I got hit up. They're like, yo, can you do a Latin night here? I'm like, yo, this is not going to work. There's no Latin people in this casino. Like, let's just keep it pushing.
And Latin people we're not bottle spenders, man.
Yeah, that's the one thing.
That's not true.
We're not.
That's not fucking
we're
true,
not.
Bro.
We're not.
Hey, man, go back to when...
Mexicans are.
I feel like Mexicans and Colombians, maybe Cubans are. But like everybody else, not really, man.
Why you say that? Wait, why do you say that, Kirk?
Are you crazy? Like Miami is fucking full of like bottle popping ass Cubans.
What did I say? Yeah, exactly. Cubans.
And like motherfuckers spending money like that.
But not across the board, though.
Yeah,
Mexicans
it's not
dropping
the board.
Money. Are you crazy?
It's like people. It's like Latinos that want to like blend in and give into that American culture.
Oh,
you get me?
I don't know about that. Really?
I think that's what it is.
Because bottle service is like European, actually.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I think that shit hit like Miami first. Bottle service hit Miami.
I'm sure.
First.
Yeah.
And then New York was like, yo, let's fuck with like, because they was pushing, they was making tons of money in Miami, exclusive doors, and then New York kind of followed.
Yeah.
But it is, I mean, like, yo, man, Latin, what are you talking about? Like, they're Mexicans and everyone, like Cinco de Mayo in Vegas is like huge. I remember like back in the day, it'd be like tons of Mexicans just buying bottles, bro. Popping shit. It's been in the thing. I don't know. Am I wrong?
I don't know, man. I'm not from Vegas.
Bro, why do you think the biggest Latin nights in Vegas are all in spots where there's free parking?
Yeah, true.
We don't like to spend money. Look at Altura. Is there a bottle pop in there? Look at maybe...
Barely.
What's that shit called? Maybe Blue Martini. But look how cheap it is to buy a bottle there.
I don't know. Maybe you're right. I don't know.
Like, we're not going into the casinos and paying casino fee money to pay to park and then go into the entry. We're not doing that.
I don't know what kind of, like, fucking Mexicans you're talking about, though. Like,
I'm talking about me. Like, I'm one of them.
You never bought a bottle in your life, though.
No.
Yeah, we're not spending money like that, bro.
All Latinos aren't spending money like
that.
No, I think you're crazy. Like, in Miami. Like,
yeah, you're talking about Miami, bro. That's a sexy scene.
They spend money out there.
Yeah, we're not. You know how expensive it is to live in Los Angeles?
Or Vegas? I mean, I feel like Florida would be a lot cheaper to live in than.
Oh, now we're talking shit about Florida, see?
No, I'm just saying the truth. In
dangerous territory right
bro,
now.
Bro, you can't live in LA comfortably. You need a roommate. Like, I'm just going to tell you. And then you're barely making rent. You're eating ramen noodles. Like, we're not going to spend the rent money on a bottle.
I don't know.
Yeah, man. Yeah, that's not it.
So you're talking about West Coast Latinos and Hispanics don't like to buy bottles.
Not really.
That's what y'all saying.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with that. Yeah. Hmm. But maybe in San Diego.
Or like Orange County.
Yeah.
You know?
Riverside, IE area.
I feel like y'all going to get in trouble.
We're not going to get in trouble.
No, I'm not going to get in trouble.
I feel like y'all going to get in trouble.
Were a lot of land people popping bottles at the Riverside spot you was at?
No.
Exactly.
But that's a different spot, like, you know. But you bring it up like motherfuckers not popping bottles. I feel like it's more generational too. Because yes. You know what I mean? Yeah, like I feel like as we move forward into nightlife, there's more of a general admission crowd than there is a bottle popping crowd.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And I think the general admission, like if I've noticed a lot of nightclubs are pushing more general admission tickets than they are sometimes bottle service. Because bottle service is kind of like an old, it's like kind of like an old, like, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like
flex?
Yeah, it's a little bit like the older motherfuckers want to pop the bottles, you know?
Yeah.
Like, that's like a natural thing for them to be like popping bottles.
Yeah.
I feel like younger crowds, they understand general admission a little bit more.
Yeah, like, I think so.
Like GA, it's like a lot of these parties, even like the DJ curated parties and all of these spots, even Vegas, they're pushing general limit. They're pushing
tickets. Oh, yeah, 90%. Yeah. Ticket 95%.
Sales. And I feel like a lot of these curated parties don't really have bottle service. Like it's,
they should, though.
You think so?
I do.
I feel like it'll ruin it. Like no. DMV, like the Adobo party.
Yeah.
Like I think that's why it's so amazing, too.
No, but I think you need some bottle service.
You think?
Because even like everyday people has some bottle service.
Yeah.
But it shouldn't take over.
But it's very small.
No, but that's what I'm saying. It has to be, you have to have a high minimum or like you have to have just have a minimum that like, you know, and then it can't be the main focus.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But I do think you're limiting the amount of money that you could make by having bottle service.
Mm.
I think there is a place for it that won't ruin the party. You know what I'm saying? Like, cause for me, like if like, for example, R&B and ribs.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm like, yo, like, I know motherfuckers that would go there, have a great time, but they just want a fucking, they want to be comfortable.
Nah.
You know what I'm saying?
Nah.
But you know, I know like what you're saying.
That. Yeah.
Now, I don't think it would ruin it if it was like off to the side. If it was off to the side.
You think bottle service wants to be off to the side? They want to be front center.
Yeah, they want to be No. Seen,
you can't put him in front center.
That's the whole reason you're getting a bottle service. But to flaunt.
Even the everyday people, the fucking bottles, the tables are off to the side. Nah. They're off to the, like, the people are the main factor.
I think that's just you, Kirk.
Nah.
I feel like it would take away from it.
No.
I feel like some of these parties just are amazing because they
don't. I was going to say, maybe the kids don't care about the bottle service. They just want to go. Going on a great party.
I'm telling you, you can make an extra.
You can definitely make money.
No, you can make an extra 15, 20 grand just off of bottles.
But
like
then,
if you have like four or three tables set up, you know, 3,000.
I give you that.
3,000 minimum.
If you send three to four tables, that's fine. But if you put 10 of them bitches in there, you're kind of sacrificing the, you know, what this party stands
for. Yo, fam, like, it's not going to fuck it up if it's off to the side. Because a lot, you know what I'm saying? Like some people just want to spectate and people watch and be comfortable.
Yeah.
And let them do it. You know what I'm saying? Like, let them do it, but it's like, yo, you got to pay this much to get that comfort and be a part of the vibe. I'm telling you, no one who's going to any of these DJ curated parties are going to be like, yo, I want my table in the middle of the dance floor. Nah, it's like, they get it. They get it. Like, yo, like, we want to come to this shit. It's a vibe. And I just want a table and I want a bottle. I just don't want to walk to the bar every fucking time.
I see what you're saying. But you know, I feel like with a party, I feel like with a party like R&B and Ribs, it'd have to be at a bigger spot for sure. Because it's, you know how small it is.
Yeah, El Rio is too small.
El Rio is small, man.
I mean, yo, like, I know. I was just talking with one of my homies, man, from San Diego. And he was like, man, like, we just were sick and tired of going to the bar. And it was like, it was just like waiting for the drinks. He's like, I literally told the bartender, like, yo, give me like 10 shots of tequila.
Yeah. But
just like put them in. They just had like their own kind of mini flask or like of just like tequila that they were just pouring into.
You know what else would be good for a spot like that?
Yeah.
Like the baseball carriers. Like the dudes selling at the baseball games where they got like.
Like the vendors?
The vendors.
Yeah. That's not going to fuck up the vibe. But the fucking tables are going to fuck up the vibe. A fucking guy going, hey, beer here.
He's just getting
beer here.
Beer here.
That's not going to fuck up the vibe. Fucking,
they gave it a house party vibe.
Yeah, get
like a more house party.
No. That'd be pretty fun.
Just the fucking worst.
Maybe you are right. Maybe 3 to 4 tables.
No,
off to the side.
It.
That's cool.
I was telling Nopa, I was like, yo, just put it off to the side. It's gonna be cool, man. Put it next to the fucking barbecue ribs.
Nah, I'm gonna tell Nopa he's gotta have pupusas.
He's like, no fucking way, man. He's like, no fucking way. I'm just like,
he's not gonna
get it to.
He's not gonna sacrifice what he started for.
Yeah, but I understand what you're saying, though.
Yeah.
But how it could ruin the vibe.
Yeah. I'm not a bottle service person myself, so I'm like, I don't do a lot of bottle service. And
I don't really drink, so I don't really give a fuck.
Yeah, I don't mind a little hospitality, man.
Yeah. Bougie.
Especially when I'm DJing. I'm DJing. Like, I don't mind a little hospitality.
I mean,
like,
you're DJing. That's different.
Yeah.
Yeah, but come on, man.
I don't even drink, so I'm like, yeah, just give me a water. I'm chilling.
Yeah. You're chilling?
Yeah.
Good for you.
Give me a pack of... Give me a
Capri Suns.
Yeah, give me a bucket of Capri Suns and we call it a day.
Yeah, call it a day.
Fuck my sugar levels up a little bit.
So what are you working on right now? Like, what are you focusing on? Like, you know, 2023 is ending. What do you want to focus on for 2024?
Right now, I'm going to school still.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I'm still going to school. Ever since I got out the military, I've been going to school for music engineering.
Oh, shit. Dope.
Yeah. Dope.
What school are you going to?
The Los Angeles Recording School.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
I heard you got some edits on the low.
Yeah, I do,
but
man.
But you don't
We don't put them out yet.
You're just like using them for yourself.
Yeah, personal.
Your JQ stash.
Yeah, I have a big just personal stash. I feel like they just work... for personal use more than they do for like somebody that wouldn't know what to do with them.
I don't know.
Because they don't have a complete 4-bar, 8-bar intro, you know?
And it doesn't matter, but the edit's good.
Yeah, the edits are solid. I mean, Exile plays them. I have like dudes from New York play them.
Why don't we?
Yeah.
But you don't want to put them on a Bandcamp. You don't want to sell them shits?
Actually, that's another thing that we're doing. Me and my brother, we're working on a project where me and him team up because he's heavy into production and I'm heavy into engineering.
Oh, nice.
So we just take our DJing aspect and like put it all together.
Yeah, your brother's a DJ too.
Yeah, my brother's a
DJ
too. Cooked by T. Yes, sir.
I see. He listens to the podcast too. You're young though. 22?
22.
How long you been DJing for?
Since I've been DJing.
Really?
Yeah, he's been DJing since he was like 10.
Oh shit.
So when I was like 15, like, well, oh damn, so that makes it, there's like an 8-year difference.
Mm.
So like when I would go and like take a piss break or something, he'd like just jump on for a bit, you know? And my dad would give him like, okay, play this. Or like, he'd be like, oh, after he played this song, usually he plays this song. So he'd be like,
damn, it's like just fucking making a factory of DJs at this house.
I know. How does your dad feel about, you know, their two sons, his two sons, like, you know, all being DJs and shit?
Oh, man, he loves it.
He does love it?
Yeah, he loves it, man.
Shit.
Yeah, I was listening to the episode with Chaos.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, he was talking about how, like, his mom wasn't supportive in the beginning.
Yeah.
I mean, that was the way it was for me, man. Like, right. You know. You just kind of got, you know, they worried and you just got to prove to them that it can be doable.
Yeah, exactly.
They just don't understand. It's tough. It could be like discouraging, you know what I'm saying? Because like I would come home and, you know, I'd do my homework, but then I'd like spend all night like working on music. So I'd literally be in my room like working on music and like working on videos, like editing with 2 VCRs at the time.
Shit.
I'd be in the room. I'd be like staying up till like 3, 4 a.m. And then I got to go to school. And she's like, yo, you're not sleeping. And then, like, she think, like, I'm falling off of school. So then I would come home, and then, like, my records would be gone.
Damn.
And then I look in the dumpster, and my records were in the dumpster.
Yeah.
She would, like, throw my shit out. I remember, like, I cried, yo. Like, I was like, yo, man, like, this is fucked up.
That sucks,
man. But, yeah, it's just Asian parents shit. They want you to, like, go to business school and all this shit, you know?
Yeah. I mean, growing up, before, like, I started getting into DJing, my mom was always talking about her brother's a doctor and like she wants us to be lawyers and this and that. But she loved music and my dad loved music, you know, and like it was just something that we kind of like, it was kind of like something we just tried out because my dad was doing it and like we enjoyed it. So we just kept pushing and now they like brag about us, you know?
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, like next year, so you and your brother, you guys are going to focus more on production then?
Huh? Yeah, more on production, more.
Like with like edits or like original music?
Like originals and remixes. Great. Like we got a, we made a remix to one of Bad Bunny's new songs and like we showed it to a few people and they've enjoyed it.
Is there like a genre that you want to push more? Like that that's maybe not, you know, doesn't have a presence in like the like a lot of the clubs or in the rooms?
Yeah. Oh, so like punta, like the subgenre of soca.
Yeah, yeah.
Like I push that and especially bachata and like salsa on the West Coast.
Right.
Like I feel like there's some rooms.
Yeah, but that's still like a like new out here in the West Coast. It hasn't been thoroughly accepted, right?
No. Like it was popping at one point because of Romeo Santos and Aventura.
Yeah,
like those last two albums that they did.
Mm-hmm.
But that's about it. Like they don't know like the deeper cuts.
Yeah, yeah.
You get a lot of requests, but it's kind of the typical shit, like Un Beso.
Yeah,
those locals, like the typical crossover shit. But like I don't know why, but I guess Slow Dancing with a Girl doesn't really pop off on the West Coast for bachata and shit like that. It takes a minute.
Nah, that's where the banda comes in, like the banda, the corridos, that's like popping. So what I've started doing is actually playing like throwback banda and corridos. Like I started playing corridos from like the 2012, 2010 era.
Oh, shit.
Like that. It's and it's been doing very well.
Yeah, because I talk to like hip-hop DJs and they say Latin's done. Right now, like it seems like Latin's done.
I mean, but hip hop DJs can't really talk to hip hop. Hip hop's in the same boat, you know.
Well, maybe they're touché. talking about reggaeton.
They're just saying there ain't no crossover hits. You know, there's no like you know, Depote, there's no that. You know, there's
play Selena.
Play Selena.
Go to the Old Faithful, man. That won't even work in DC. I was surprised.
Oh, you played it?
Yeah, it worked.
It worked.
It worked.
It's just you gotta get a good fucking remix because her shit is slow as shit. She's like 88.
Oh no,
91.
I play originals, man.
Oh, you can.
I love originals.
No, I like originals too. Just some of them shits is too slow for me. I gotta get like a 99 BPM.
What is he talking about? Like y'all, all I hear you're like the king of like playing four Selena songs in a row.
Yeah, but they're all fast paced. Like they're all remixed and they're up tempo.
Nah, bro, you gotta let the OGs breathe, man. Nah, the original ones. Oh man, just let them do their work. They were made that way for a reason, man.
I'm not making the West Coast shit where you play it at the zero. Like, I have to jack my shit up at least.
Oh, yeah. Jack it all the way up.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. Hey, whoa, jack it all the way up is crazy.
Pause.
What I notice sometimes is I take records and I put them, like, I don't know if this is a bad habit, and I've been doing this since, like, the 2010s.
Okay.
Is that, like, I will take certain songs that are, like, 3 or 4 years old, and I'll stop playing them.
Mm, yeah. No,
you know what I'm saying? Like, but I'll put them away.
Yes.
But the thing is, they still work.
Right.
So like motherfuckers, I hear them playing this. And I'm like, oh, I don't play that shit. So, but I'm making like life harder for myself when I DJ.
Yeah.
Because I'm taking these things out when I'm like, oh damn, I should be playing all of this shit. Like,
I mean, but you find other stuff to play in.
Yeah, but it doesn't translate as well to the crowd.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Do you do that just to not sound the same as everybody else? Oh, why do you do that?
I think maybe the patterns back in the day, 10 to 15 years ago, was that like, you know, like for example, Nelly Hotton here, Usher,
yeah.
Those records are like classics now.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But there was a point where it was played out.
Yes.
So like motherfuckers didn't want to hear it no more.
Yeah.
You know, just like, you know, like motherfuckers don't want to hear like, I mean, there was a certain point where you couldn't play any J Balvin.
Mm.
It was kind of like J Balvin was a little played out.
Yeah.
I remember that.
You know what I'm saying? Like around 2020, 2021, it was like, yo, you playing with Hante? Like, why you playing that shit?
Yeah.
You know, like, why you playing X? That shit is played out. And there was a time where Ozuna was a little played out. Mm. It was like, you know, like, I would play Ozuna and I'd be like, but now Ozuna sounds like amazing right now.
Yeah.
You know, but like 2017, 18, Ozuna was killing it. And then 1920, it was like, damn, why are you playing Ozuna?
Yeah.
It's not hitting as hard, right?
Right.
So I feel like those are the records I'm like, oh shit, take them out. And then all of a sudden, 2 years later, it's like, oh shit, we want to hear Ozuna though. Ozuna sounds good now. And you're just like, ah, oh, fucking make up your mind. And like, you figure this shit out. Like, I would Flo Rida. Like, I would never play Flo Rida low.
No.
Like, yeah, but like all of a sudden, all that shit is back. Like,
I even played Smack That, bro. And it worked.
Oof,
I don't know.
And that's a rough. Tough one. Bro, I took that one out, like, and I saw it. I was scrolling down and I saw it and I was like, all right, let's give it a try. Man, I was like, damn.
It still hit.
It still hit.
That's crazy.
It still hit.
Smack that.
That's
smack
fucking brave. That. I wouldn't play yeah. that shit if you requested.
But I mean, $100. I look up to my idols. Like would do that. You know, like Zach would play.
Oh, Four Color Zach.
Yeah, Four Color Zach.
Yeah.
Four Color Zach. I basically took what he was doing and just like translated it to the Latin world. Mm. And it works.
How so? Like,
I opened for Zach one time in Seattle, mm-hmm. and like I just heard him go like all over the place. He even played a Bad Bunny track, mm-hmm. and I was like, "Wow, this is amazing!" And like he played, kind of like back to what I was saying, where he played like rock or he played like old school hip hop song or like a West Coast stuff or East Coast shit. And like I just did it with like Latin. I just started doing that, but the Latin version of those genres.
Oh, so you're talking about mostly the risk factor.
Yeah,
of course. The fuck it.
He's also talking about like kind of a West Coast style, which I talk to a lot of like New York motherfuckers about.
Yeah.
The West Coast style is like, yo, like in New York, we'll hit pockets. Mm. So we'll do like a dance hall set, four to five songs, three, you know?
Yeah.
Then we'll go to hip hop, four to five songs. But they all kind of got to make sense. Mm-hmm. But in the West Coast, they're only taking one and then one and one. So you're taking like one dancehall song and then you go into one hip hop song and then you go to like a classic song.
Yeah, yeah.
And then so there isn't like these pockets.
No.
You know what I'm saying?
No, yeah.
So from a New Yorker's perspective, it sounds like all over the place.
No, but actually, you know, I've adapted that style where it's like five like rock en español songs, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And then five banda songs and five merengue songs.
But that's
five
how I bachata
songs.
But that is kind of a New York style a little bit. Like West Coast is like kind of all over the place.
Mm. Well, I learned it from you for sure. Watching East Coast.
Yeah, but I think like there's like a beauty to how West Coast DJs make like they kind of put everything together.
Yeah.
But they make it blend and work. Because it can sound chaotic. It can be semi chaotic because there's so many left and rights.
Right.
It's like one song and, you know, left.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, the way some certain West Coast DJs like a Four Color Zach,
right.
they do it so well.
Amazing.
Amazingly.
Yeah, beautiful.
You know, and then, but then when you hear some other West Coast DJs, it's kind of like, it sounds a little chaotic.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like West Coast DJs are really known for that, where they hop around.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, they won't get into those pockets like East Coast, like New York motherfuckers.
I mean, sometimes I still do that. And I mean, that one I learned from like AM because he was just like everywhere.
Yeah, I was going
like,
to say, was AM like, was a lot.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, he'll just hit it. Like,
yeah,
you know?
He was just everywhere.
Yeah. He'll play like, you know, like 50 Cent in the club and then go into Oasis.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Whereas in New York, we would play a bunch of 50 Cent shit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, we would run it and then do like a whole G-Unit joint.
Yeah, yeah.
And then we would get into like, we wouldn't play just one dance hall shit. We would play three versions of one rhythm, switch to another rhythm, play another three, and then hop out and maybe do, you know, whatever we do.
Yeah.
You see, it's funny you said that because I remember I played a song. I forget what it was. It was a dance hall record. And then I played something else. And they're like, no, you have to play the whole rhythm. And then I was like,
in certain parties, you have to.
And then I was like, oh, that's a thing. So then I adapted to the style of kind of do the sets, medley type of shit. Instead of just doing the one for one everywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah, but like you don't need to do that with dance hall, really. Especially if you're on the West Coast, you don't need to go through the rhythms. Like,
nah,
that.
You don't. They don't.
Yeah, I was like,
they don't even know out here.
They don't even know them.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, because I was like, oh, that's not how you play them. They're like, no. I'm like, oh, okay.
Who told you that?
P-Dot. He told me that's not how you played them.
No, yes. I mean, if you on the East Coast.
Shut up.
You know, he lived in the East Coast for a bit, but I was just like, he was trying to put me up on game, and I was like, oh, so it's better off doing the little sets, pockets, instead of boom, 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 boom. Because that's how I was. I used to just go one for one. But, yeah, maybe I don't know.
No, I mean, and the thing is, that's why, like, New York quick mixes. Because we're going to go through these pockets of 4 to 5 songs. But we're going to go through them and run through them. Whereas, like, a West Coast DJ, they'll hop around, but they'll play, you know, a large amount of the song.
Yeah, a
verse, 2 to 3 minutes of the song, two verses, and then hop out. In the East Coast, you might just hear a chorus.
I do choruses for a lot of the songs.
Yeah, no, there's certain songs that I'm quick mixing, like I'm in and out, like the song you were talking about earlier, the Que Perra, like I'm out of that song, yeah. But there's some songs like, I'm gonna just let this thing breathe and do its thing, like Bad Bunny Safaera, played out. I love that song. That's probably like one of the greatest reggaeton.
You let the whole song play?
I started from when Ñengo comes in. So like when the breakdown, when it starts like where it's like at a 96.
Yeah.
So I started from there, and then like right before it goes back to the 80.
Everyone plays that song differently. Yep. That's the crazy shit.
How do you play it?
I just have this edit that goes to, you know.
I drop it. Okay, I don't even play that part. I drop it from mami que tu quiere, and then
it goes mami que tu quiere, and then it goes but I've seen people play from the beginning of like the trap version.
Yeah,
I played
it's like sicko mode, like they literally just play from the beginning.
That's a great
that's a
perfect comparison.
Everyone plays sicko mode differently.
There's
DJs that started from the you know what I'm saying?
And they'll
play their Travis joint. Yeah, they'll play that whole joint.
Nah, but there's a new song called Muñequita.
Muñequita.
Yeah, I love that record. Amazing. I love that record.
Yeah, so now I'm playing Safaira different, because now I play it from the end of the trap part and bring it back to that part I was originally telling you. Because Muñequita drops down into the 80 BPM too.
The chiki chaka chaka.
Yeah, exactly. And I just like blend them right there together.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, that's good.
I blend them.
You should make an edit like that. Just throwing that out there. Yeah. You know?
I'm glad she got like kind of a crossover.
Yeah, that's a great record, man.
Yeah.
I was like, this is gonna save reggaeton. No,
I think so.
No, but she's been dropping a lot of shit.
Yes, yeah.
Kaliukas, right?
Kaliuchis.
Uchis.
Yeah. Call him mucus.
Like Uchiwala.
Like, you know, I can't, like, Ukis.
Ukis.
Like, mucus.
What do you have? Oh, Ukis?
Wait, it's Kaliuchis?
Kaliuchis.
Uchis. Okay.
Yeah. Uchis. My bad. Colombian chick.
My bad, Kali. No, but she had some great songs, but I'm glad. But that's a dembow song.
A dembow song.
Yeah, it is.
Well, Alpha's in there.
Yeah.
That's a dembow. I thought you were calling it reggaeton and shit like
that. Oh, at the end is a reggaeton song.
Oh, it does? Oh, yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
when it drops.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah.
I like the beginning though.
Would you say that's like one of the bigger records out this year, right?
Yeah.
And it was another big one, Lala, right?
Lala?
Kind of. It's like a crossover joint. Yeah, no?
Nah.
That's like a crossover joint, though.
Really? Okie dokie.
Okie dokie.
The Mikey Towers record kind of works for me.
The Mikey Towers.
That's
crazy.
Wait, what's his name?
Mike Towers.
Mike Towers. Yeah, we call him Mikey sometimes.
Kaliukas, Mikey Towers. We're making up shit at this point.
No, that's like a crossover joint, though.
Is it? I've never played it.
You never played it?
Nah. I've
what
never
happened?
Played it.
I played opening set.
Opening set.
Yeah, that's an opening set.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's just like kind of fun. It's like lighthearted. It's like Shaggy, you know. It's like Shaggy reggaeton, right?
Shaggy. Yeah.
That's a perfect way to say it.
Great, yeah. Right? That's great, yeah.
It's like Shaggy reggaeton.
Yeah. Is Ryan Castro
Mr. Bombastic kind of shit, you know?
Oh my God.
Mr. Bombastic reggaeton, right?
Mr. Lover.
Yeah, it's like that. It's like that reggaeton, you know? I'm not going to scare no white people away.
I mean,
yeah,
that hits, you know? Too. I've been playing Shaggy again. I'm like, this works.
All of that shit. And you can sing along.
And you could like, because it sounds kind of like, what is it, dancehallish?
Yeah.
It
is dancehall.
You could just blend it with reggaeton and it works.
Yeah.
You know, it's something familiar.
Yeah. I know. We don't want to typecast you as a Latin DJ. Yeah. But that's all we've been talking about.
No, it's okay. You know what it is? It's like a lot of us, we get typecasted because we didn't grow up listening to hip hop. I didn't get into hip hop until I got into high school.
Mm. What?
So like it took me a while to get into hip hop. Because, like, growing up, it was, like, all Latin music. And then...
Because whatever your family was playing.
Yeah, because whatever my family was playing. Yeah. And then, for, like, a good moment, it was, like, all that reggaeton stuff. And my dad was buying CDs from, like, the alleys, you know?
Yeah.
So, it was, like, he was trying to get on game with reggaeton. And then, like, as he was getting on game, I was getting on game, you know? So, that's how I got, like, introduced to reggaeton. And it took me a minute. Like, it was 2005, I think. And I heard... one of Biggie's records.
Damn, 2004.
That's
crazy.
Yeah. It was on Power 106 too.
Like, Juicy? I don't know.
No. It wasn't Juicy. It was
damn, they didn't have
a radio. It was Back to Cali.
Oh. Going Back to Cali.
Yeah, it was Back to Cali. And I was like, damn, this shit is hard. Like, I remember hearing it on the radio. I was like, I was going down Fig. I was like, damn, this is crazy.
The craziest part, that's a really West Coast Biggie record. Like, that's the first one he heard.
Yeah, that's the first one I heard.
Not and Juicy. Then,
I'm going to tell you.
Not Hypnotized.
In the 2000s, that was every New Yorker's go-to record to be like, I'm on the West Coast.
Yeah.
Like going back to Cali. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I was like, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, you knew there was a New York DJ up there. He's playing Going Back to Cali. Like, yo, this is,
we love
this
that
West
record,
Coast
though.
Shit, you know? It's like West Coast New Yorker shit.
But at the end of high school and like once I graduated, I started like really getting into like New York hip hop. So mm-hmm. I like started listening to like Gangstar, Biggie.
Wow.
And all that stuff.
Damn,
like,
when you were 18, 19.
You got exposed late.
Yeah, I got exposed super late. Yeah.
Fucking late.
And then that's what like made me want to do like more of like the engineering side too, because I figured out all my favorite beats are DJ Premier.
Yeah.
Like all my favorite beats were like DJ Premier, mm-hmm. Easy Mo B.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, yeah, I want to.
D&D Studios.
Yeah, man. Mm-hmm.
Like notorious.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny when we talk about Latin parties, I just think it's so important because like we never had that 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Or 15 years ago.
Or when they
so like when I hear like motherfuckers like, I don't want to be known just for Latin parties. I'm like, right. I don't think there's a problem with that. Yeah. I think it's a beautiful thing, and I think it's like important that you maintain that shit.
Right.
And you don't lose it, because so for me, there wasn't that presence before. You know? Yeah. And it was like, you know, I remember going to Miami in the 2000s and they, you know, like Cuban motherfuckers are telling me to stop playing reggaeton. Yeah. They hate reggaeton. They're like, stop playing this ghetto shit, you know?
Yeah.
But it's like, to where we are right now, I think it's like, it's amazing. So like, we got to keep that industry alive. And to me, there isn't many great DJs that are doing it. Mm-hmm. And I think you're one of the few DJs.
Thank you.
Who can like touch on every genre and every aspect. Like you said, like you're almost like a library of knowledge of music.
Yeah.
You know, from like, you know, we're talking about cumbia, mm-hmm. punta, or, you know, everything, you know? So like, for me, I just think like, it's important that, you know, you keep representing it, and then you kind of expand the culture. Yeah. That's why you doing like all this production with your brother. I think it's a great opportunity for you to expose like a whole bunch of music to Latin community that they haven't been exposed to, because it goes so deep. It's one of the main things I love about West Coast Latin parties. I feel like you can hit way more genres than an East Coast Latin party.
Really?
I feel like they focus on like dembo. They focus specifically on certain genres.
Yeah.
But I feel like the West Coast is a little bit more open format.
Mm-hmm.
Like you can kind of touch a little bit more on every genre, right?
Yeah.
A little bit.
I see what you're saying. Yeah. And that's it. And that's crazy too, because I didn't think about it until you said it now, because the things I can't play here, I can play over there.
Yeah.
But over here, I can play. There is a lot more genres I can play over here.
There's a wide more variety.
Yeah, there's a lot more. Yeah, like I could play a lot more Latin pop. I could play rock en español a little more. I can play like all the Mexican regional stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, I can still get away with like some of the bachata stuff and merengue tracks, you know? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like only out here could I play like a little bit of bachata, then go into like some dito or something.
Yeah.
And then like, you know, hop around, play a little Jersey club, and then, you know, go into reggaeton, and then go to like dembo, and then go to Latin tech house, and then play a little guaracha, and just hop all over the place.
Yeah.
But in like New York and the East Coast, you can't be that wide open like that.
But that's also what's amazing about the parties I do. Mm-hmm. Like Travesuras is strictly reggaeton. Like they focus heavy on reggaeton.
Yeah.
Like that's like just a little reggaeton session, right? But like Altura, they like did so well to like, I guess, train the crowd to like be open to like everything.
Right.
And like, just like, oh, remember this, remember that.
Mm-hmm.
Same with DMV. But theirs is like, yo, we're playing all this shit again, you know? And like, they're really good at playing a lot of this. I can play a lot of the stuff I play out here over there as well with that party.
Like that West Coast.
Yeah,
West
Coast
shit out there on the East Coast.
Like I remember playing Rock en Español for Adobo, and like, we were on two floors. Like, it was just, it was crazy. I thought the floor was gonna cave in when I dropped that record.
Jesus.
Yeah, I played Oye Mi Amor at Adobo, and I was like, wow, like they just went nuts.
Wow.
Yeah, Adobo to me has West Coast DJ Latin accepted really well.
We gotta go there.
Yeah,
y'all gotta make it out there. And they have like a bunch of DJs. They had some guys out there from Texas. They get the New York cats all the time. They bring me out there.
Yeah, I was talking with Nopa Slaps, you know, from R&B
Ribs. Yeah,
Nopa
went
out there. Just out there. He was like, oh man, it was great.
Amazing.
You know, he's Salvi too. And he was like, I got to play some Salvi jams out there. It was a dope fucking party.
Man, Nopa's a well of knowledge of music as well. Like me and him, we were chopping it up when I went to San Francisco, and we were just talking about how like we were kind of like the same culture, but we grew up different. Like he was more influenced with like the deeper cuts, and like I had like more of a Mexican, like growing up, just because I was surrounded by so many Mexicans.
Yeah. Well, that's natural in LA, right?
Yeah,
it's
normal. It's like you kind of got accepted to, you got to either get accepted to the black community or like the Mexican community kind of, right?
A little bit. And it's like, you know, it's a beautiful thing to be growing up with so many cultures. And I think that's one problem in LA sometimes, where, because it's a gang culture, everything's segregated.
Mm-hmm.
But like, we'd never see like what's so special about like all the cultures that are in LA.
But you're starting to see it now a little more.
Yeah. A little bit, but baby steps, right?
Yeah. I'm glad we finally got you on the podcast, man.
I know,
bro. You're going to be in Vegas soon, you said? I'm going to come hang out. I've been wanting to hear you spin.
Yeah.
But like when I see the recap videos and like on Instagram, I'm like, oh man, I got to see this motherfucker spin.
Yeah, man. So, I was actually very surprised that you hit me up. I was like, what's going on right now?
Nah, why you say that?
I don't know. Like sometimes like we don't see like the things we're doing.
Yeah.
So I see. Like, you know?
I see it.
I know. Kirk sees, bro.
I see everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sometimes I don't see like what I'm doing, and like my brother has to tell me like, yo, like you're actually doing like some pretty solid things. Like yeah, I'm yeah. just, to me, it's just like, yo, I'm just doing something I love.
Yeah, because you're just grinding, right?
Right.
He's on grind. Just
grind, yeah.
No, but I see like the thing is like I see a lot of DJs. It's the reason why like DJs like you stand out, and you know, other DJs that stand out, you know, I notice it. You know, you have that thing. You know what to play to cry. You're playing different shit. You know yeah. what I'm saying? So, like, we all see it. Like, motherfuckers notice it.
Yeah,
you know
bro.
What I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, maybe I should be more vocal about being like, yo, that was dope. You know, and you're killing it.
Yeah.
But I just like to take notes from the side and to see how people move. Be like, oh, okay, like, it's been 2 years and they're very, like, they move very like a gentleman. You know what I'm saying? Or like,
yeah, yeah.
That's a good motherfucker. Like, yeah. I like how he's moving. I don't like motherfuckers killing it and then they're all loud and shit and I'm like, oh, I don't need that kind of energy on the podcast. So I'm gonna see how this motherfucker moves a little bit. But you know, like I talk to people, nothing but great things have been said about you.
Thank you.
And every time I see you, you're doing something dope and you're playing something dope.
Mm-hmm.
And you're even putting me onto stuff. So I'm like, oh, like, yo, like that's dope. So
yeah. And I'll send you that crate of my stuff, man.
Yeah.
We're actually gonna put out a bunch of stuff like pretty soon. Like we made a second account too, so be on the lookout for all that.
I'm looking forward to y'all production. I wanna see y'all do some good shit.
Next time we're gonna interview Cook by T and he can sit on the sidelines.
Yeah, I'll sit on the sidelines. Hey man, he's gonna be big. He's pretty good.
Nice. All right, JQ, man. Thanks for coming through.
Hey man, thanks, guys.
Thanks for tuning into the Road Podcast. Don't forget, every Wednesday we have new episodes on all major streaming platforms. And every Thursday, the video versions go up on our YouTube page. Please subscribe to our channel, youtube.com/roadpodcast. And to find exclusive clips of the pod, please visit youtube.com/DJ City. And we'll see you next Wednesday.